This morning, I'd like to share our scripture from the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, verses 31 through 33. Now, these are short verses, so you should be able to follow them and hang on to them. Let's see how we can do. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In chapter 13, Jesus is telling parables about the kingdom of heaven. Wouldn't it be nice rather than Jesus saying the kingdom of heaven is like, and then he shares these parables, wouldn't it be nice if Jesus simply said the kingdom of heaven is, and really told us, without any sort of hidden mystery about it? Well, that's not how the scripture works, and that's not how Jesus taught. So today I want us to explore these two parables in particular. Some of the illustrations that Jesus uses in his parables, we can relate well to. We understand what he's talking about, sowing seed and wheat and tares. Some other things may be a little foreign to us living today and in this culture and in this country. But the people who heard Jesus speak really understood if they were listening carefully and took heart to what Jesus said, really understood what he was calling them to be and do. But then I'm going to flip side that and say, on the other hand, many people, even the disciples, sometimes just stood there scratching their head saying, I just don't get it. What is he saying? Take, for example, this one parable about the mustard seed. In reality, the mustard seed that Jesus is speaking of in the mustard tree is different from what we know of today here in the United States when we have mustard for our bologna sandwich or our hot dog or ham sandwich. That's a little different than the mustard tree that Jesus was talking about. And in reality, the mustard seed was not the smallest seed, but it was the smallest seed that was planted. It was the smallest seed that was planted. And when that seed was planted, as Jesus indicates, that mustard seed would grow into a large tree where birds built their nests and where the birds made their home. We can understand the concept of a tree growing large, and I think we can understand the concept of birds nesting in a tree. We do have birds that nest in trees around here, too, so we kind of understand that, but what does this really mean to us? I want us to look at it together. This very tiny seed grows into something very large. In the South, there's a climbing, coiling, trailing vine with deep roots that you see on the countryside and along some of the roads along many cities, towns, and villages. As you know, I lived in the South for some 39 years. So I became familiar with this particular plant. It really is a beautiful plant. It has beautiful leaves, and during the right season, it has beautiful flowers. When it was first brought to the United States, kudzu, that's what it's called, was brought from Eastern Asia, and it was an ornamental plant. Ornamental. It was meant just for small growth and to be decorative. However, there's always a however, isn't there? However, because of its trailing vines and its rapid growth, it was brought to the South to help the farmers and those doing road constructions. You know how you have the banks that might just be grass, and to help keep the soil in place. That's what his job was supposed to be, to help with soil erosion. However, they found out rather quickly that due to its quiet growth, but rapid growth, it also climbed over trees and plants and shrubs, and because it was very thick in its covering, it killed everything in its path and everything that it covered, because the other plants could get no sunlight. It provided heavy shade, but it's ruined everything else. When I first moved there, I thought, oh, that's a lovely plant. Well, after several years, it was like everybody else in the South. Oh, that kudzu is just taking over. What can we do? You see, kudzu has one other fact about it. It's very, very difficult to kill. So it just keeps creeping and crawling and covering things with its shade. Well, Jesus is talking about a mustard seed that grows quietly and becomes something very big. It starts very small, and yet it grows very large, sort of like kudzu. But why did Jesus add the illustration of the mustard seed and the birds nesting in it? Why did he use that? Jesus' hearers would understand it better than you and I, for to us it's a mystery, unless we know something about the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the scriptures the people knew, there was one common picture of a great nation. And that great nation was symbolized by a very large tree with birds nesting in it. The large tree symbolized the kingdom, and all of the birds in the nest symbolized its subject nations. The nations that found peace and shelter by being nurtured and protected by the one great nation. Jesus was telling his disciples and those who were listening to him that the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, starts very small, and it will in the end have many nations gathered unto it. That was his message about the birds nesting in the mustard tree. The kingdom of God will grow slow like a mustard seed, but it will grow to great height. And the nations of the world will fall under the power of the love of God. So what? So what? Nice story. My friends, the kingdom of God, as I just said, begins as a little seed. And you know something? The kingdom of God begins and is with us now, and it begins and is with us now with the seed that God has planted in your hearts. As you've come to love God and to accept Jesus as your Savior, and as you open yourself to the Holy Spirit, God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, forgiveness, peace, when we accept that, when we know that, we then are called to nurture that mustard seed within each one of us. You didn't know you were a plant, did you? But you are. You are a plant that will grow, and if you nurture it, it will grow in the relationship with Christ. Our relationship with Christ will become more intimate, and the Holy Spirit will call us to share the love of God with everyone. We're called to grow the kingdom of God wherever we are. We're called to grow the kingdom of God like kudzu spreading wild. But there's one factor that I'd mentioned earlier about kudzu. Remember I said kudzu covers everything and it kills it. When the kingdom of God that's within us grows and spreads out like kudzu, may it be for us a way of killing evil and war and hatred. May it be for us a way that we lovingly show others the way of Christ. You know the song, "Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me." God has put within you, a seed that can grow and extend and welcome others. Let's talk about the leaven for a minute. How many of you bake bread at home? Real homemade bread? Several of you do. I don't, but I have a little understanding about it. But I want us to look at this leaven that goes into the bread, or yeast, as it's also known. For those who bake bread, if you've had real homemade baked bread, you will realize that when someone like me goes to the grocery store to buy my bread, that there's a significant difference in it. I was reading an article the other day about this, and it was talking about when we go to the store to buy a loaf of bread, so in the bread we buy, there's a lot of different ingredients, including many things that are put into the bread to make it last longer on the shelf. It's not as light or fluffy as homemade bread, and it certainly does not taste as good as homemade bread. One of the delights I have is when I go to Black Lake to visit Bud and Nancy, and they have an Amish woman friend named Fanny. She bakes the best homemade bread we have ever tasted. She also knows how to share. You see, a couple weeks ago, Bud came home. Nancy knows how much I love the bread. She went over to Fanny's to get bread, and she wanted two loaves, one for her and one to send home to me, and Fanny only had one for sale. But Fanny heard about what Nancy was doing, as I understand it, and she went in her home and got her personal loaf of bread, brought it out, sold it to Nancy, so I could enjoy that bread. Wow, what a Christian witness. That's not the main point I wanted to make, but what a Christian witness that she'd bake bread and she gave her very bread to us that we might enjoy it. Well, let's get back to the leaven and the yeast. Leaven, as I understand it, is a little piece of bread, or dough, excuse me, which is kept over from the previous baking. And then it ferments as it's kept. Do any of you remember years ago, this might date me, when sourdough bread was the thing and everybody had the starter for sourdough bread? And everybody'd say, oh, I'd like some, so you passed a little jar of starter on to the next person, and then to the next person. Remember those days? You shared it with others so that they could have wonderful bread. Leaven, or yeast in the bread, transforms that dough. It transforms it so that you have a wonderful, delicious, light, homemade loaf of bread. Without the yeast or the leaven, as I've been told, it turns out to be something like a very poor cracker. Dry and hard and not appealing at all. Sort of reminds me of the day when mothers had infants and they were starting to teethe. And you bought Zweiback. Remember the Zweiback? That hard, crusty thing. Hard enough so they could chew on it and cut their teeth and never really eat it. It also tasted horrible. That's sort of like what happens when leaven's not in bread. Okay, Vonnie, you've talked enough about the leaven and the yeast, so what? In this parable, Jesus wants his followers, and even us today, to realize the transformative power that God has in our lives and how the kingdom of heaven can transform others. This transformation sometimes happens slowly. Sometimes it's unseen. You know, in that bread, you don't see the yeast at work at first. It's slow. And if you walk away later on, you come and it might be big. Or it might even be bubbling as the yeast transforms the dough. Some say the transformation of our lives and the transformation that God offers us only works silently. Others say that the transformation that takes place in our lives and within our church takes place silently and in such a way that you can see it and hear it and feel it. You can see it bubbling up just like that yeast. Wow. Just as we can see the leaven working in the dough, so too can we see the kingdom of God growing. William Barclay puts it this way: there is a sense in which the kingdom, the power of Christ, the Spirit of God, is always working, whether or not we see that work. And there is a sense in which it is plain to see. God has put leaven and yeast in your life. And in the warmth of our love, that leaven and yeast is to grow. And that leaven and yeast is to grow in us so that first we are transformed into faithful followers of Jesus Christ. And as we continue to be transformed, we are called to go out into the world and transform that world. These two parables that Jesus teaches tell us that small beginnings, a mustard seed and leaven, can lead to huge endings. Ever wonder if what you're doing for Christ in the world really matters? If you're doing it for Christ, no matter how small the task or the job, it matters because you are extending the kingdom of God. Do you ever think that If I stopped doing this, nobody'd really notice, and what difference does it make? People would notice, but more importantly, God would notice. And yes, what you do does matter. When you are part of the kingdom of God and extend that out into the community and the world, you are helping to transform others. Do you believe that you're a mustard seed and leaven at work in the world, and that your small contribution really makes a difference in the kingdom of God? My friends, it does. The kingdom of God is here and now. The kingdom of God is also later. We're called to be that seed and that yeast. We're called to first allow God through the Holy Spirit to transform us. We're called to have that seed and that leaven transform our church. And then we're called to transform the world. I invite you to read the brief reflection in the bulletin. And I invite you to put that before you this week as your prayer. Because it asks about what we are to be doing. You are seed. You are leaven. You are a mustard tree. And you are bread. Celebrate that. Accept that. And continue to grow in it. Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for the teachings of Jesus. We give you thanks for the way in which they unfold information to us, in which way they direct us, and the ways in which they teach us. By your Holy Spirit, strengthen us to hear what you have said, to accept it in our heart, and to live it in our lives. May your Holy Spirit work in us, even as leaven works in the bread, that we may be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.